Welcome to episode 398 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm David Elliott. Excuse me if I sound a little off today. I got eaten by a snake the other day. Today, Fantastic Four 398 from March 1995. Watchers Lie by Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan. So the Watcher accidentally dropped off this power core to a weapon with enough power to extinguish the sun at FF headquarters. Whoops! You know that Watcher? He's so absent-minded. Now the FF have taken it to this monastery in Tibet, the Monastery of Doom, where Christoph Vernard, the 12-year-old kid who used to think he was Dr. Doom, is examining the device. Nathaniel asks his son what he's learned about the device. Yes, apparently, Christoph is Nathan's son, which makes him Reed's brother and Sue's brother-in-law. Welcome to the family, you little shit. Christoph says the device appears to be part of a larger weapon that can destroy the entire solar system, which would be pretty useful if you don't like the solar system. And then we see that they're not at the monastery anymore. They're aboard the Stealth Hawk, the scroll ship they've stolen, likely headed toward the moon. Christoph says to Sue that he finds it hard to believe that Dr. Doom is dead, blowing himself up to kill Reed Richards. It seems a little out of character. Christoph thinks that he would have found some other way to survive. He also thinks that both Reed and Dr. Doom are still alive, which is a relief to Sue. Finally, someone who agrees with her, even though it is a demented, screwed-up 12-year-old boy. Nathan tries to touch the device, and Sue puts up a force field and tells him, "Hands off!" He says he was just interested in the device, and Sue replies that things and people that interest him have a tendency to disappear, and she doesn't like that. Over in another room, Johnny is staring out a window, and he's not very good company for Scott Lang, Ant-Man, who heads to the cockpit and offers the pilot, Ben Grimm, a cup of coffee. Suddenly, in this issue, the scarred-up face of Ben Grimm is colored more pinkish again, and he looks more gruesome than usual. They haven't been very consistent about depicting Ben's messed-up face. Ben turns down the coffee and tells Scott that he better go tell the others they have a big problem ahead. Meanwhile, on the moon, at Attilan, the home of the Inhumans, some guy named General Ator seems to be in charge, and they detect the Stealth Hawk on the way. They know it's the FF, but General Ator orders his men to order the ship to turn back. The FF were warned to avoid the moon back in Fantastic Four Unlimited 2. But really, does something in FF Unlimited count? The FF don't listen. They keep heading toward the moon, so the Inhumans decide to launch a warning shot toward the Stealth Hawk. They fire several missiles. I don't know where Black Bolt and the gang are. They would never fire missiles at the FF. Maybe they would, maybe just a little mild tickling, but no missile firing. Ant-Man is surprised to see the missiles coming their way. Ben stares the ship and dodges the blast. And for some reason, the scarring on Ben's face in one panel is so big, it's like half his face, half his head is pink. The inconsistency is getting worse. Next, Sue turns the entire ship invisible and the Inhumans don't know where it is. Oh, they're so dumb. Like, they say they didn't know the Skrulls or the FF had that kind of cloaking technology. But they do have a team member called the Invisible Woman. Oh, what a bunch of Nimrods. The ship lands on the surface of the moon, right outside of Attilan. So Sue's weak from the strain of keeping the ship invisible, and now they need to make a break for the Watcher Citadel before the Inhumans notice where they are. I don't know why the Inhumans would care. I don't see any no parking signs around. So everyone's going, except for Boris, Christoph's old man assistant. I guess he's going to stay behind and watch the ship. Ben says Boris will be plenty protected once they put up the ship's defensive shields. Boris thinks to himself, "You ignorant gargoyle." I guess he's up to no good. Everyone is up to no good. Christoph, the Watcher, Nathaniel, even Boris, Reed too, the Inhumans. Oh, the FF really are in the middle of a shitstorm lately. So the rest of the group arrive at the Watcher's crib, and they walk right through one of the porous walls. He doesn't have much of a security system, this guy. But then again, being on the moon, you don't get many visitors. I mean, the Inhumans come over on Super Bowl Sunday, and Neil Armstrong once dropped by to borrow some sugar, and that's about it. Ant-Man is blown away by how crazy and futuristic everything is inside the building. Sue says they need to stay together because it's easy to get lost in there. Next, an image of the Watcher's head appears, telling them that their journey has been in vain. he cannot reveal the knowledge they seek. But Sue is pissed off. She wants to know why they're being jerked around. The Watcher lied to them about that alternate future they were sent to, where Galactus had destroyed the planet on his first visit. And Ben wants to know why they saw two identical Watchers fighting each other back in New York. And Ant-Man probably wants to know where the bathroom is before he poops his pants. Back with the Inhumans that I've never seen before, they finally find the Stealth Hawk, and the General prepares an assault squad to check it out. He assembles a band of freaks. There's Rutar the Irresistible, a talking tree, looks like Groot with some extra weight. There's Elak the Agile, a little green guy. There's a dude named Glabu, who says, "Glabu, smash!" He's a big yellow glob of a guy. And Margoyle, a female gargoyle chick. And a glowing white energy dude named Pulsus. Back at the Citadel, Nathaniel has slipped away from the pack. He's always doing that, slipping off alone, getting up to no good. He starts placing these little transmit receivers on the floor so he can find his way back. He rushes off, hoping to plunder the Watcher's secrets. The Watcher's big secret is that he watches TV all day and he's never been laid. That's his big secret. Back in the Stealth Hawk, Boris is perusing the computer banks, fascinated by all the information contained within. When a sensor goes off, it has detected a power of indescribable magnitude manifesting itself within the Citadel. Back with the Watcher, the FF are begging the Watcher to tell them something. He's gotta come clean. That seems to be the theme of the entire Tom DeFalco run. Lots of characters, with lots of secrets. No one wants to tell anybody about anything. Therapy. Oh, they all need therapy. The Watcher tells the FF that there are cosmic forces at work beyond the furthest reaches of mere mortals that he dares not disclose. I think what this means is that Tom DeFalco hasn't figured out what's going on yet, so shut up and stop asking questions. Someone shouts out, "Uatu! You are needed, Uatu!" The Watcher tells everyone to run, find shelter. He doesn't have the power to withstand the entity that now approaches. There's this huge windstorm, and Sue says it feels like a tear in the fabric of reality. Of course, we all know how that feels. Everyone has to hold on for dear life so they don't get sucked off into some alien dimension. Now, if Reed were there, he'd be all about trying to get into that alien dimension. He never met a hole that he didn't want to stretch into. And then, from the other dimension, another Watcher appears. It looks like an older Watcher. I think that's why Uatu was so scared. That might be his mother-in-law. The other Watcher tells Uatu that he's needed to defend the One. We don't know who the One is. More cryptic bullshit. Uatu says that he's not a warrior. He's just an observer. The other Watcher says that only the One matters now. And Uatu starts to disappear, getting sucked into the vortex. And we see somewhere else, standing behind a big computer console, is Reed Richards. Probably the Reed of another dimension, or reality, who's glad that the Watcher has been summoned. And back at Uatu's crib, the vortex calms down and the wind stops. Ben says he thinks it's time to head to McDonald's. He's in the mood for a Big Mac. Did McDonald's pay Marvel for that particular announcement? Ant-Man looks around, and guess what? He sees another device on the floor, something else left behind by Uatu the Watcher. Either he's getting really absent-minded lately, or he's trying to send the FF a message. Sue says they should head into the dimension after the Watcher, but Nathaniel yells out, "Absolutely not!" The fact that he doesn't want to go in makes Sue want to go in even more. He should use reverse psychology on her and say, "Yeah, let's go after the Watcher." And then Sue would be like, "Okay, maybe we shouldn't." Nathan says they should head back to Earth, and Sue snaps at him, "No one asked your opinion." And then that flaming apparition of Sue appears again, and this time she says, "You must heed the words of Nathan. Only he holds the key to your survival." Ah, so now that explains where the apparition is coming from. It's gotta be coming from Nathan. But no one on the FF is smart enough to figure that out. Ben tells Nathan that the apparitions keep popping up over and over again, as if Nathan doesn't know that already. Kristoff, of all people, is the only one not buying that flaming apparition crap. He says that a child could create such a thing. The 12-year-old boy is the smartest one in the room. Suddenly there's an explosion, and everyone goes flying. Another Watcher appears. This time, it's the evil Watcher, who looks like Uatu, Uatu's evil twin. He says the universe has reached a pivotal point, and he's there to exploit Uatu's absence. Ben rushes toward the evil Watcher, hoping to clobber him, but he gets knocked aside by the evil Watcher, pushed so hard, in fact, that he flies through the wall and out onto the surface of the moon. The other Watcher starts to laugh, and his clothes start to change shape, and he's revealed to be Aaron, the evil Watcher, the one who caused so much trouble back during Steve Englehart's issues. He says, "We are rapidly nearing the end of the universe as you understand it. A climactic and glorious end, but you'll never live to see it." Nathan thinks to himself that he didn't expect this, so he teleports away. A mile away, Ben is laying there on the surface of the moon when those weirdo Inhumans show up. Ben says, "Just my luck. I land smack dab in the middle of the blasted tea party." And this tea party, they're kind of like a death panel unto themselves, calling themselves a death squad. Back in Latveria, Nathan appears, and we see that the robots there are operating a holographic wave generator, which creates that flaming apparition of Sue that keeps appearing. So Nathan is talking to himself, or to the robots, and he goes on to say that if the FF are to survive, they need help from someone courageous and powerful and naive enough to challenge Aaron the Watcher. And he only has one volunteer in mind. Courageous, powerful, and naive? I have no idea who he's talking about. Maybe Moon Knight. He's not powerful. We'll find out some other time, because we've reached the end of FF 398. You can download other episodes of this podcast at iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. If you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over. There's a smart moon in the amber sky, wavering and burning like a golden light. I fell so far, I didn't think I'd make it back. We are all made as an afterthought, destined to be.